but not as closely typed as they are here, there will be space between the questions. Because one of the directives that I have behind each question and its most satisfactory answer should always be a reason for the chosen option. In other words, I want you not just to answer, but to know why you answer. If desired, and for you it is desired, besides answering the questions, the one using the manual may, I am requesting that you do, also give a brief explanation of why he answered the way he did. Does that make sense? You will have space. It won't be too much, so it won't scare you. If you wish, you can use more space. And write on the reverse, if you wish. Put 2 or 3 or 13 or 66 or whatever it is. And go on with your explanation of why you chose what you did. This combination of what and why, because having taught for 20 years, I've discovered that so many students, all they ever learn is the what. They never learn the why. But this combination of what and why will ensure a sound grasp of every issue raised, especially if there is available someone to check the accuracy of why a particular response was made. Now, do pray that I will be able to find the time to do this for you, sisters. Because once I leave Hamer Spring, I go to Chicago, of course, today, and the floodwaters, the Red Sea having been parted, if that's a figure of speech, the waters come back together again, see? And then start all the responsibilities that I have. But I convince myself, first of all, that your community is worth it. Secondly, that it will help you to do the work that you're supposed to do, and that also I believe I'm supposed to do in working for priests. Okay, sisters? But I do ask your cooperation. Now, we're not making students out of you. In other words, I should add, by the way, lest you get scared, the plan that I have for your community is 3 years to go through the catechism. How's that? Well, it's the whole faith. Because we have 1,500 questions, approximately 500 a year, that would mean an average of 10 a week, right? If you intelligently answer 10 questions a week, and if even in a sentence or more, now sisters, don't look upon it as a burden, please. Otherwise it would spoil the whole. I hope I am making sense, sisters. I'm not trying to, you know, burden you with anything. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I want to cooperate with the grace that I think God has given you. All right? So that's the second. However, what I further recommend for your community, which is not here because I didn't write this just for the handmaids, I recommend that when you get the feedback back Now, how much of this I can do, sisters, will depend, of course, on time and things that, as you know, starting in 2 weeks, I start teaching in New York and also in Philadelphia. I'm also teaching in Philadelphia. I remain, of course, on our faculty, Jesuit School of Theology in Chicago. I have responsibilities there. We've begun a sisters' formation program in New York for the training of novice mistresses and other such worthy individuals. I am the editor of a several-volume series on the Second Vatican Council, commentary on the Second Vatican Council, which is being subsidized by St. John's University. And I've got to get my prayers in and so on. I'm talking among friends, so you realize, to make it as, not as easy for me as possible, but as cooperative as possible, so that we will, with God's grace, be able to do as much as we mutually can. I figure that if every 2 weeks for a start, starting about the middle of September, this is what I thought, that we began about mid-September, and you will not be given, though I've been reading things for you, you will not be given the questions until you're ready to answer them. I don't think it's smart for you to see the questions you're supposed to answer until shortly before you're to answer them. It does something psychologically. My recommendation, I might just as well combine, my practical advice to you. My advice is that these questions be mimeographed with adequate space in between, maybe depending on the length of the question, 2 or 3 per page, so that you'll have ample space to both encircle. And I think the easiest way, rather than underline, because sometimes it's a rather long underlining, just encircle. But this just may ask you to be real plain. I think it might even be good to use a colored pencil to encircle so that it'll be easier to correct, okay? So we don't have to, scrounge to see, what's encircled because of the mimeograph is in black ink, then you put a black circle, you might have to even look for the circle, see? I'm suggesting using red, okay? And there are black ballpoints, I always have them. To make it easier, just encircle A, B, or C, all right? Because you're going to get these back. And underlining, and sometimes if the underlining is not neat, it kind of messes up the page, see? Because this should then be for you later on, something which you can hold on to, right? You're going to get these back. You answer then, A, B, or C. Don't rush to the answer, sisters. Please, all right? None of the questions is obvious. I mean, they're all close. And they're not to trick anybody, but to teach. Because as I've been telling my students, and in this case, for the first time, well, not quite maybe, you will then be students enrolled in what university shall we call it? I tell my students, we know anything short of a beatific vision only by contrast. Whatever we know, take color. How could I begin to describe that the background of this color is, I guess it's yellow or tan. How could I begin to prove it? The only reason I know that this is yellow, and people have agreed on calling it yellow, we make the funny sound called yellow. When the eye see the funny color called, yellow, okay? But only by comparison with another color. And so with all ideas, the intelligibility of the faith, we're talking about the faith, depends on contrast. Comparing, that is, one thing with another thing. So, then you indicate what is the correct answer. Then, give a reason for your answer. Then, in other words, you will be given these just shortly before you will be asked to answer them. I recommend that the questions be answered privately, because otherwise I wouldn't quite be sure, because being so charitable, I mean, you'd exchange ideas and so on, so this is not a matter of honesty, it's a matter of, you know, common sense. So, answer the questions privately. And it might be a good idea to answer them about the same time. I'm not telling you how to do it, I'm just saying you answer them about the same time. Then turn them in. Now, the Sister Mary Gertrude is going to be the one who is, she's going to be the liaison between your community and myself. Then you send those to New York. I should add, before I go any further, though I've got a meeting with Brother Matthias in Albuquerque at 1 o'clock. What we might do, Mother, is maybe call him up and tell him that we'll be a little late or something. Because this is not yet Albuquerque. Esther, would you mind closing the windows? Just those. I think somebody decided to use a buzz saw. And whenever I'm recording, I'm very sensitive to. That when you answer, you turn them in, and they will be sent to New York. I will correct the answers. Now, of course, I will need help with this. But I should say before I go on that I have been doing this for 5 years now, teaching by correspondence two university courses to students all over the world, whom I've never met, of course, both using books that I published, one on world religions and one of all things on Protestantism, because I have several books in Protestantism. So I know this works. In other words, there's a method in this. I should further add that this is the future of higher education by correspondence. With the electronics media, you know, the means of communication being so rapid and so easily multiplied, over 5 million people are taking university courses in the United States by correspondence today. There are universities that give up to a doctorate by correspondence only. And I found that often my students, whom I never meet, do more work than those who sit in a class, listen. Because the essence of good education is maximum activity on the part of the student. Is that right, sisters? So, now what I will do, my plan is then that we would start on an every 2 week basis, so that you don't get ahead of me because I've got so many other responsibilities. But I've decided in prayer that I would do this, and that we would have to pace ourselves. If we began every 2 weeks, I think I can keep up with you. Hopefully in a week or so. Now, you might have to give me more than a week at first to get going, you see. But then I would get two things back to you by airmail. One, your corrected answers. In other words, I will then indicate, and one way that I might do it, if you use red, let me use blue, okay? To encircle the correct answer. If it's not encircled, well then we don't have to make purple out of the red, okay? Follow me? Then your answer stands. So you will get that. Secondly, I hope to be able to record a tape lasting 30 to 40 minutes on the basis of your answers of what should be the right answers and why. Now, I would give you the reason for the right answer. Okay, sisters? Now, in teaching, because after all I have been teaching in various situations, I have found that if I do this with my students, that I give them a quiz, then I return their answers with my corrections, then spend about a half an hour commenting on where they made their mistake, which is in effect what they should have said and why. Then I've got both maximum, I'd say, clarity in the student's mind, and what I'm most concerned with is maximum motivation, because you've got to want to do this. And to want to do it means you've got to do whatever is necessary to do it. Okay, sisters? So that's the program. Now, the second level, which you will find in your manual, but need not pertain to you, unless you so desire, is a list of topics for study and dialogue. Now, these are generally, well, they will be fewer in number. 10, 12 or so. These questions, well, they're not so much questions, they're topics. Let me read. The topics differ from the preceding questions in several ways. They do not repeat what was in the previous questions. Otherwise, why make them? But probe deeper into the meaning of what the catechism, for want of space, cannot deal with extensively. They will require further thought and perhaps study. Moreover, they supplement what is in the catechism and offer a wide latitude, either for conference presentation or group sessions. The topics can also be developed into essays for assignment in classes of sacred doctrine or inquiry programs on the Catholic Church. Get the logic? Now, my recommendation to you, sisters, is use the topics if you wish. But you will have, I think, enough matter for discussion on the questions. Now, my recommendation is that there be, if possible, weekly. I would recommend that it be as informal as possible so that people don't feel that, because if you've got to do something and everybody, you're like me, maybe you're not, it can take the edge off of it. That there be some group discussion after the questions have been answered, after you get the answers. Okay, sisters? Now, whether you discuss formally, which I would suggest and merely suggest, whether you do it regularly which I would merely suggest. I would, however, strongly recommend that you do discuss in such opportunities as you have, informally. All right, sisters? Discuss after the questions have been answered. You know, why, whatever it means, or what your ideas and opinions are. And the same, if you wish, with the topics which you will be given. Now, the topics often require sources that may not be either available to you or, frankly, would go beyond what you may want as a benefit from this program. For example, the first topic for further study and dialogue: how is the Word of God capitalized, who is God, related to the Word of God, lowercase, which has been revealed to the human race? Now, sisters, you don't answer that question in one sentence. First, even to know what the question means. Why do we describe divine revelation as God speaking, underlying speaking, to man? Why does the Bible always say, the Lord said, the Lord spoke? Why? At any rate, that's for your further reflection, discussion, whatever you wish. Now, sisters, that is about my message to you, and the rest, I think, is in your hands. You will then get the answers back, and I would consider them as belonging to you then. You see, they are yours. I figure, now it depends on your speed. In other words, don't rush it. Far better to do it well than to do it hurriedly. And I will, as I say, make every effort I can to get a recording back on the basis of your answers, because once I see where you've made mistakes, I remember when I say mistakes, it's not that you're wrong, because frankly, none of these questions really is that wrong, but you're not clear. Before I close, though, I would like to end with this bit of commentary. I believe that a community like yours, which is to be so concentratedly a life of prayer and sacrifice, that you are a contemplative community without being strictly cloistered. That's the language, am I correct, of your constitutions, with a stress on the interior life, with such impact as God will make through you, believe me, if you are holy to the far ends of the earth. He will, but you be holy. But if you want to develop your interior life, you simply must deepen the understanding of your faith. You must see growth and progress, not only in the practice of virtue, which is usually implied as moral virtue, but progress in that one virtue which is the foundation of all the rest, the virtue of faith. And we recognize progress in the virtue of faith by our ever clearer and deeper and more lucid understanding of God, because we call these theological virtues, since their object is God. Whom do we believe in? It's God. What did he reveal? Himself. Consequently, do not suppose for one moment that what I am recommending to you, I don't see as alien to, but even essentially different from the purpose of your religious life. And in dealing as I do with even the strictest contemplatives and with men and women that God has put into my life of extraordinary prayer and union with Him, the one thing I almost never fail to tell them, what you still need, you've got the love of God, what you need is more knowledge of God. And if you want a model from this program, whatever we call it, I think the best would be our Lord's own words at the Last Supper. This is eternal life, that they may know you and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. That they may know you, because though we can't hold back, the measure of our love and service will be in direct proportion to our profound understanding of this God who tells us to love Him. Now, sisters, how's that for a start?